Tonight, could we please open the Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll read the first 8 verses of this portion of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and reading at verse number 1. For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, and that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent to the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow together for a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee, our Father, for the hymns that we have been singing together in praise unto thy name, and also prayers that thou would fill us with fresh zeal and enthusiasm for the work of God that lies ahead. And Father, we pray just now that thou would close us in with thyself, that thou would defeat every stratagem of the wicked one to steal away the blessing. And Father, we pray that thy people may be encouraged in the Lord, and grant, O God, as we face a new year's work, that it will be with fresh zeal given to us by the Holy Spirit. Be with us now, we pray, and bless, and speak by thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we come to a sad time of the year, because the fact is that really, as far as we're concerned, the summer is now ended. The CNE stops tomorrow. It's always the first precursor of the end of summer. It stops tomorrow. On Tuesday, we have the opening of our school for a new year. On Saturday, you've heard about the barbecue that leads to the new year's work. And all of us are coming, looking forward to next Sunday, because next Lord's Day is really the start of a new school year and a new church year. We feel that it's not January that starts a church year, it is September, because after you come through the summer period, then you look forward and begin to press forward towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And right now, all of us, I hope, are trying to shake off the sloth of summertime, get into harness, get into gear, and looking forward for the work that lies ahead in the weeks and months to come. Last Wednesday, we had a meeting of our school staff, and they met for prayer and for preparation before the opening of the school on Tuesday. And Dr. Saunders addressed them from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this chapter we read together, and he addressed them from verse number 8, where it says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, as he was reading the chapter to us before speaking to the people, a verse or a line jumped out. Sometimes it jumps out of the Word of God at you, and it's virtually saying, preach me. And a line jumped out to me. It is in verse number 2 And that is the latter words of that verse where it says, your zeal hath provoked very many. And so the Lord, I believe, has laid on my heart tonight to speak about this subject, the zeal of God. And as I do so, let me say that I feel most inadequate, because none of us reach the level of zeal that we should have for the service of the Lord. And so as I preach to you, I'm preaching to my own heart that the Lord would bless us and strengthen us. Now there is in the Bible the fact that there is a good provocation that says, your zeal hath provoked very many. So there is a good provocation, and that is the good provocation there where we have been told to provoke others to good works and those things that are pleasing to Almighty God. There's also a bad provocation in the Bible, as example, Colossians 3 and 21, which says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So there's a good provocation and there's a bad one. But I want to look tonight at this verse that has a good provocation coming from zeal, a zeal that provokes others to emulate that, and we want to look at that tonight. Now, the first question is, what is zeal? That these are words that we use all the time, but do you ever stop to think of what it actually means? The word zeal, by definition from a dictionary, enthusiastic and diligent devotion in the pursuit of a cause. And then another dictionary says, ardent commitment, and you'll recognize in the word ardent, they're burning, because we have behind us the burning bush, ardens, said virens, burning but living. And so when we're looking at the matter of zeal, you're looking at a burning in the heart, an intense enthusiasm for the work of God. Now, there's all kinds of ways that you can have zeal. You can have zeal which you direct towards your own home. You're zealous to build up your home and so on and make it nice. You can have zeal towards your vocation, your job in life, and it's good when we are faithful workers in the job to which we have been called. There's also occasions when people exercise zeal towards solving some problem. And some of the great discoveries in this world have been by people who zealously have focused on one particular thing. I think of the man who designed Velcro tape, and he was walking with his dog in Switzerland, and he saw that his sheepdog, that when he brought it back, the little burrs sticking to its hair. And so he looked at them, he got the microscope out, and saw that those burrs had little hooks on them. So he thought, well, if we could just emulate that, we'd get a great fastener. And so he worked at it. It took him 9 years to develop Velcro tape. And the biggest job was to make a machine that would make the loops and cut the ones that needed to be cut so that they'd fit into the loops in the other side. And so there's a man who exercised zeal towards one particular thing, solving the problem of making Velcro tape. And we can also have zeal in religious feeling, because other religions, we are surrounded here with Islam and Hinduism and Sikhism and so on. You cannot say that these people are not zealous. They are zealous, but not according to knowledge as far as we can see it. So there's all kinds of zeal that we can have. But tonight we're talking particularly about Christian zeal. And what is Christian zeal? A Christian zeal is that within our hearts that has one objective. And that one objective is diligent devotion to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and a burning desire to please Almighty God. The great preacher Jonathan Edwards, he said that the greatest desire of his heart was that he would bring glory to the name of the Lord our God. We have to ask ourselves, is that the zeal that pervades our hearts? Is our desire always for the glory of God? Or are we hiving off our zeal for some of the other things that I mentioned there that are less important? You think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in his book tells us there about a time when he decided that he was not going to speak the word of God anymore, that the Lord had given him a very difficult message. And in chapter 20 and verse 9, Jeremiah said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He had become weary in well-doing. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." You see, the zeal of the heart of Jeremiah overcame him, so that the desire he had just to quit and give it over was replaced by a great desire to serve the Lord and once more to minister the word of the Lord. So zeal is an enthusiastic and diligent devotion in the pursuit of a cause, in our case, the burning desire to please the Lord our God. Now, there are some examples of Christian zeal that we can speak about. It was the characteristic of the early disciples. People don't like to be known as a zealot, but there's nothing wrong with the word zealot, because the word zealot was the name of one of the men chosen to be a disciple by the Lord Jesus Christ. He called this man Simon Zelotes, Simon the Zealot. And so if the Lord called a man with that name, then there's nothing wrong with being called a zealot. You'll find the world will come along and will mock the believer. If we show enthusiasm for God's work, then we are mocked as being zealots. But then you look at them when they go to the football games, 80,000 people there, all roaring their heads off because of somebody passing a ball up and down the field. And you can take that in all of the sports world. They can be zealots, but it's only when a believer takes a stand for God and is on fire for God, then you become called a zealot. But the early disciples, they were filled with the zeal of God. And for example, Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, giving testimony, that he was taught after the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous toward God. Now, that zeal that Paul had was not a good zeal. It was a zeal towards Judaism, which was now replaced by Christianity, and it led Paul in his zeal to persecute the saints of God. But then, later on, you discover in Acts chapter 20, at Miletus, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." And so that burning zeal that Paul had to persecute the church has now been transferred over and is now used for the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need each one of us to make sure that our zeal is directed in the right way towards the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord. Then, characteristics of the early Christians. The early Christians had to suffer endless opposition as they preached the gospel and lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. In their zeal for God, they suffered very, very much. In fact, I have to say that as I look at the examples of some of the zealous servants of God down through history, I begin to ask myself, Lord, do I have any zeal whatever for the work of God? Because of the dedication of these people, the disciples and the early Christians and the reformers. You take the like of Calvin and Luther and Martin Luther there and Calvin. They fought against continual and endless opposition. And yet they were zealous and zealously focused on one work, which was to reform and to teach the word of God and get the people back to the word of a living God. And for that they suffered much, but they had the zeal burning within them, and they gave zealous leadership towards one end, the glory of God and the proclamation of the gospel. Then you take the great missionaries of the Christian faith, and you read the stories of these people here, and you see how they have left home and family and gone away to some far-flung country and in poor conditions lived there for the rest of their lives, controlled by this burning zeal that the love of God constrained them. And you don't need to have to move into history. Just look at some of our own. You look at Margaret Russell. Margaret Russell was a member of my church in Tandragee in Northern Ireland way back in the early 70s. And she felt the call of God, went away to Kenya, has been there for almost 30 years. And I'd like you to be able to see the work that God has done through Margaret there in Kenya. But she's left all at home, left her ailing mother, and has gone there to serve the Lord with a zeal that will not be denied. And then we ask ourselves, oh Lord, do I have any zeal at all for the work of God? And then you think of her brother Bill Woods. Bill Woods, a young man, went out as a missionary to Brazil, met the need of the people there spiritually, discovered that the people also need physical help, and so at his own doing, he put himself through medical school. He built houses with his hands to get the money to pay for the medical school, and became a specialist in leprosy. And through the work of Bill Woods in the Acre area of Brazil, leprosy has been virtually banished because the zeal of the heart of Bill would not be denied. Oh, he could have gone back to Northern Ireland and lived there in comfort with the rest of his family, but he went away because of the burning zeal of God in his heart. And of course, the greatest example of zeal is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, it tells us there in prophecy some 700 years before the Lord was born in Bethlehem, that he was clad with zeal as a cloak. And again we read in Psalm 69, the zeal of thine house hath burned or eaten me up. And again in Psalm 119, my zeal hath consumed me. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this world. The zeal of his heart consumed him, consumed his time, consumed his talents, consumed his passion, and consumed us all. And he gave us all on the cross to die, that you and I today might be saved. And I would remind you of that challenge made by one of the missionaries so long ago, that if Jesus Christ be God, and he died for my sins, and he made that sacrifice on the cross, then no sacrifice that I shall make for him should be ever too great. May God help us to recognize that and recognize the great objective of the Lord Jesus, which was to please his Father and to do his will. Tonight, let us look into our own hearts and say, Lord, what sort of zeal have I for the one who loved me and who gave himself for me? And the Lord Jesus Christ, not only did he bear our sins on the cross, but he bore the reproaches of the world against his heavenly Father during his earthly ministry. And so he bore both of these things. And my friend, today, we also are called to bear reproach for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and to stand up for him. We are living in a day when atheism is trying hard to make inroads into our society. How sad that is, telling the Bible class this morning of two young men who passed through our Sunday school who today say that they are atheists. Of course, the Bible has described them already in the psalm where it says, it is the fool that has said there's no God. But in this past week's news, we have here a statement by Stephen Hawking. Now, Stephen Hawking, he is the guy that you see in a wheelchair, a quadriplegic, and yet he's lionized by the scientific world as a great physicist, and perhaps he is a great physicist. But he's just come out with a book, The Grand Design, and he tells us that there is no need for God. There is no place for God in the universe. He's not needed. And if ever a man needed God, Stephen Hawking is that man. But even making that statement, his slip is showing, because he said, there is a law such as gravity, and because there's a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. And he goes on to say, it is not necessary to invoke God to set the universe going. Because there's a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. The law of gravity? Stephen, where did that come from? Because if you have a law of gravity, you have to have a lawmaker and a lawgiver. Where did it come from? And so these people, they try to turn the people of the world away from God. And we have to face that day and daily. And we need to pray that the Lord would give us zeal to stand up and be counted for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are surrounded here by false religions, by Islam, by Hinduism, by Sikhism, and so on. And the Lord has placed us here in this area for a reason. I think of how the Ark of the Covenant, when it was brought into the house of Baal, or Dagon, that Dagon, that false god, fell down and broke in pieces. And we need to pray the Lord would give us the zeal for our biblical Christianity, that we will raise a standard here that the false religions will not be able to gainsay or to hinder. So we need to pray much for the power of the living God and for zeal for ourselves. Now, where should our zeal be seen? Well, first of all, it should be seen in our giving, because that's what this chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians is about. It's talking about the people of Macedonia and Achaia giving, and the Corinthians also giving to the cause of the spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to ask ourselves, well, Lord, how does the zeal of my heart for the gospel relate to my giving to God and to God's work? Because you'll find the answer to the question difficult. How is the gospel hindered today by the lack of funds? Church of Jesus Christ today is always in need of funds because some of God's people sit on their hands, they keep their wallets in their pocket, and they do not give to God. But my friend, if you want to know the blessing of the Lord, it says in verse 6 here, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And it says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And the word cheerful is hilaros. The Lord loves a hilarious giver. But you get people giving to the work of God, it's like pulling their teeth out. It's not a hilarious thing. It's a sad, it's a sore thing. But the Lord tells us he loves a hilarious giver, one who gives generously to the work of the Lord. So what is our zeal in giving like today? Then there's also zeal in serving. Now this building is quite an impressive building. And if you went through this building and checked it out, you'll find there are all kinds of nails in it. There are small nails and there are great big nails. Great big nails to hold the beams together. Small nails holding on things on the walls and so on. But all of those nails are vitally important. They all have a job to do. And every individual is like a nail. Some of us, we have bigger jobs to do. Some have smaller jobs. But everyone is vitally important. And may God give us the zeal to do the job, whatever it is the Lord is calling us to do it with the very best of our ability and to stick at it. As the little children's hymn says, you in your small corner and I in mine. And if everyone is doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord and zealously working for him, we'll be blessed. You think of that woman in the Gospel of Mark who came along and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with the alabaster box of ointment, the ointment from the alabaster box. And she anointed him, and the people complained this should have been given to feed the poor and so on. But the Lord said she had done what she could. The only service she could do, she couldn't preach. She wasn't a missionary, but she could do what she did. And the Lord commended her for that. And he said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her. So here she saw something she could do, and she served the Lord with zeal even though there are many people who are opposed to what she did. With zeal she anointed the Lord, and the fragrance of the ointment filled the house where they were met together. May God give us zeal in our service for God. We sing the hymn sometimes, our service for God is barren and dry, and barren it will remain until we are blessed from fire on high. And so today, may God give us that burning. As Spurgeon said, Lord, make us boiling hot. I took a brother, Alf Jordan, yesterday down to Milton. Debbie will know where I was, down to Milton. And they have a very good rally every year of steam engines. And I talked to Alf a couple of years ago, and he had told me that he enjoyed steam engines. So I said, well, the next time I have a chance, I'll take you down. So I took him down yesterday, and we saw a whole bunch of steam engines. And the important thing about the steam engine, you have to have boiling water. Otherwise, you're not going anywhere. And so they got the steam up, and the great big machines were going. Likewise, we need to get the steam up and be boiling hot for the Lord our God. And then also, your zeal can be seen in your Christian living. The Bible tells us that we are to be examples of the believers in word, in behavior, in spirit, in truth, and love, and so on. I wonder, do people see us and recognize that Jesus Christ governs our lives? Because at the end of the day, it's only one life and will soon be passed, and it's only what's done for Jesus will last. And so may God help us in our lives to provoke others by seeing us, by observing our contribution to the work of God, by observing our service for God, by observing our lives. And then our zeal can be seen in our obedience, because the commandments of God, we're told, are written upon the heart of the believer. And we are to obey the commands of the Lord our God. And I often think of my wife's father, who's now with the Lord, but he was a great gardener, tremendous gardener. Used to have the most beautiful gardens with flowers that it was just beautiful to behold. And yet he would never, never, ever left one weed out on a Sunday. In fact, he used to say, never let a weed see a Sunday. You get them out before Sunday, but he'd never do any work in the garden on the Lord's day, because the Word of God and the law of God was written upon his heart. But you'll find that many Christians today, their zeal is such that they do work in the garden. They are out there cutting the grass. They are out there perhaps watching the football game on television and so on. But remember what we said, was it last week or the week before, where it says, Thou God seest me. And God sees us in the home. He sees us wherever we are. May the Lord help us to be obedient to his commands. Now we come to one. And I don't know whether I can get through this one. And that is the zeal of the believer to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read your bulletin today, Maud put this in not knowing what I was preaching about. But it's Saved to Serve, and I encourage you to read it when you go home. Saved to Serve. And we have been saved ourselves to serve God and to reach others. And I want to pose a question to you as I pose to myself today, and that is, do I really care about the salvation of other souls? Do I really care about the salvation of souls? You see them walking round about. You see them driving their cars. You see them walking down your street. They visit your home. Do I really care about the salvation of a precious, never-dying soul? And the thing that bothers me is that so often we have to say, Lord, we see them as trees walking. We don't have the interest in their souls that we ought to have. And so we need to pray, Lord, heat up the zeal in our hearts. Give us a love for the ungodly. Give us a love for the unlovely, because when we were in that state, somebody loved us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody cared enough to come to the prayer meeting and pray for us. And yet there are people today whose children are going astray. Are there parents in the prayer meeting praying for them? Often the case is no, and then they wonder why their children do not come to the Lord. May God give us zeal in the matter of the winning of souls, because the Bible tells us that he that winneth souls is wise. And then our zeal can also be seen in volunteering. Christ Jesus did not need to come into this world. And when he came into this world, he did not need to die, because death comes by sin, and the Lord Jesus Christ never sinned, so therefore he himself never had and needed to die on his own account. But the Lord Jesus looked down from heaven, his dwelling place, he saw us in our need, and he voluntarily came down from the splendor of heaven down to this world of woe. And he came down to seek and to save that which is lost. I wonder, my friend, what have you volunteered to do for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, you may not be able to preach in the pulpit. You may feel not able to teach in the Sunday school, although I feel that many who say that actually could teach in the Sunday school, that you may say you can't do those things. But you know, they're only simple little jobs. I think of Brother Bill Marshall. If ever I missed a man in this congregation, as Bill died, what, 8 years ago now. And Bill, I used to kid him that he was a fixture in the church, like a door handle. He's always here. You come in, church black at night, he's sitting up there playing his trumpet. And Bill always saw things that had to be done. It was only when Bill died that we realized how many things, small things, that other people had never noticed, that Bill did those things. And my, I was greatly blessed by him, and we certainly miss him in the Lord. But my friend, let us ask ourselves, what do I volunteer to do in the service of God? Do I ever volunteer to bring somebody in my car into the church to hear the gospel whereby their soul might be saved? Do I ever volunteer to do that? Do I come with an empty car? There are many who do not do that, but I wonder how we respond ourselves. And remember again the words of Hagar, "Thou God seest me," and God knows all about us and what we do. So there are many areas where our zeal can be seen. Now, what should not be seen in our zeal? There is such a thing as wrongly directed zeal. For example, Paul speaks to the Jews in his day that they had a zeal of God. He acknowledged that, a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And sometimes there are people who are filled with zeal for some particular cause and even for the Christian cause, but their zeal is not according to knowledge. J.C. Ryle, the great preacher, he said that it is easier to add knowledge to zeal, as in the case of the young people, than it is to add zeal to knowledge in the case of older people. And I confess, as a man who's getting on in years, that the older you get, the harder it is to maintain a zeal. It's not easy. But yet you discover that in the Bible, there are people like Paul who finished the course, zeal and all. You get people like Moses who never gave up, and the Lord gave him strength right to his dying day. And so we need to make sure that our zeal's according to knowledge. Now, I'm encouraged by the young people because young people have a natural zeal for doing things. And if they can direct that to the service of God, it's not difficult to add knowledge from the Word of God and from their Christian experience so that they become well-rounded and zealous believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do have knowledge over years and years of service, it's harder to maintain the zeal. It's very easy to get weary in well-doing. And that's why we need to pray that the Lord would give to us zeal right to our dying day, that we'll not finish the work in a poor way, but rather shall finish on a high note. There's something else that shouldn't be seen in our zeal as selfishness, because sometimes people are zealous, but they're zealous because they want to have the applause of men and women round about them, whether in the workplace or in the Christian church. And sometimes it is mine that comes before thine. You take the case of Jehu, that strange but violent man of the Old Testament. And Jehu picked up a young man, Jehonadab, and he had just slaughtered 240 people. And he calls Jehonadab to come up into the chariot with him. Come with me, he says, and see my zeal of the Lord. And he's going forth to slaughter another bunch and going further again to slaughter many, many people in Samaria. The Lord directed him, but the zeal that he had was one that was selfish. It was directed towards himself. He wanted to have the applause of man. May God help us to have our zeal directed towards the glory of God. And that leads to the next thing, and that is that the zeal should not have a party spirit in it. At the end of the day, we are happy to have zealous workers in this church and in our denomination. But at the end of the day, the church name and the denomination will die. Our zeal must be directed not to the church, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one who died in our room and in our stead. So you'll find that there are many people in the Christian realm who their zeal is directed more to the church than it is to the Lord Jesus. Let us learn the lesson well and make sure that the work that we do is not done just for a church, but is done for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. One final thing. How best can we provoke one another? It says here that the Corinthians, and the Corinthian church was far from perfect. But all kinds of problems, that's why 1 Corinthians was written, to resolve those and to address them. But it says here, your zeal hath provoked very many. And how good it is when our zeal, whether it's in giving or serving or living or obedient to God or volunteering or soul winning, when our zeal is seen by others and encouraging them, that's good. Hebrews 10 and 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In this world, it's easy to find people who will provoke you the wrong way. He provoked me. She provoked me. But as Christians, we want to provoke one another to love as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to good works for the cause of the Lord Jesus. May it be seen of every believer here and said, your zeal hath provoked very many. May they see our generosity and our service and our godly life and our obedience to God, putting God first. And may they be provoked by God to follow the example that we have given to them. When I was a young believer, a very young believer in my teens, we started a young people's fellowship in the area where we lived. And I was asked one time, one of the first times asked to speak to the fellowship. And I discovered that public speaking is not as easy as you think. And I went along and I spoke. I got the message delivered all right, the words of it. But I felt, Lord, there's something missing. I gave a lot of words, and as far as I know, they're all true words, but there's something missing, Lord. In the next week at that fellowship, we had a young friend of mine who, I have to say honestly, was not very well educated. But he spoke that night, and he spoke with a power that I did not have. And so that night, he provoked me. Not that he didn't know anything about it, but he provoked me to go home and say, Lord, if I'm going to be a minister of thine and a minister of thy word, wherever the situation, I need to have thy power. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we say, either in the Sunday school, the day school, or the public platform or pulpit. It doesn't matter what we say, unless we have the backing of the author of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, behind what we say. So it doesn't matter how eloquent we are. It doesn't matter what our voice is like. It doesn't matter what our delivery is like. The important thing is the Holy Spirit. And that's where the zeal of the Christian comes from. May God help us each one then, as we face the new year's work, to go home, to get before God, and to be provoked by one another unto good works, and to say, Lord, here am I for this year, whatever it costs, whatever the cost may be in the school, the church, the Sunday school, the Friday night meeting, young people's fellowship, Lord, here am I, send me and use me. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, Lord, and we come in our weakness tonight because we have considered some of Thy greatest servants of old. And Lord, they exhibited a zeal for Thy work that we never have had. Our Father, we pray that Thou would forgive us, that Thou would touch us, that Thou would help us, Lord, to be serious before God, and to go home and to seek Thy face. And Father, we pray that Thou would fill us all with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God, and grant that our zeal shall provoke many, many more. And grant our Father in this day of declension and being surrounded by false religions, help us, Lord, to lift high the standard of the cross, because Thou hast told us, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Hear this, our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.